The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Customers and
service.
Okay, that's fine.
Tonight's stories.
Not my kid.
Illegitimate.
Cleaning. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Comfort Level Podcast. I'm Maddie, and I'm here with
Sam.
Josh.
Brandon.
So what we've been doing is people in the comments were asking if we could like introduce like our guests.
Oh.
So Josh, if you can give us the audience a little rundown of like your relationship to us and how you know us and stuff.
Okay. Brandon. I met Brandon first. We used to get haircuts together.
Really?
Yes.
Sir. Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. Yep. It was a nice experience. And then
it was nice.
I know everybody from church, basically.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Another
youth group
person.
I knew Maddie. And then, you know, as we got older, we kind of started having our friend group. And then, you know what I mean? That's how we met each other. And then Sam, the camera crew at the church.
Camera team.
Yeah, camera team. Go. Yeah, we both worked on that one.
Yeah.
And so, you know, every Sunday, me and Sam on the cameras.
Until he left us.
Well, you know, I'm a greeter now.
Yeah,
hey,
buddy,
guys.
This is bad in us, but it's cool. We moved on.
Oh.
Most of us.
I guess.
Not most everybody. Of us have moved on.
Most of us have.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the big news?
Ooh. Yes,
since we've been here at the villa for a while, Maddie's went through some changes. Maddie's
kind of
tatted up right now. She's kind of yatted.
Kind of tatted.
She just got this on vacation. It's kind of crazy.
Give us some applause, guys.
Yeah,
you look good with that tattoo.
Yeah.
She's a thug now.
And if you see, you know, next week or in a few weeks, if it's gone, don't worry about it, you know?
Cut her skin off because she's hardcore now.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And also, I don't know, you guys don't necessarily know this, but in the villa, Josh also just got
a tattoo.
Oh, my goodness.
Ooh, that boy good.
Yeah, that boy clean.
And we may or may not be peer pressuring everybody to also get tattoos in that same exact spot. And again, if they disappear within a period of time, don't worry about it.
Because we did fly in a tattoo artist just to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They came in.
And then the fine print said something about will remove with wash. And I was like, what?
Because it did only take them like a minute to do the tattoo. And I'm like, that's so detailed. It took you a minute to make that?
To
like,
do this,
it's so beautiful.
But
well,
I'm
we
like,
did pay them thousands of dollars
per person.
Per person.
That's not, you need to check into that. Actually,
that's not a good return on investment if it's
$1,000 and it's going to be gone in a few washes.
They cleaned me out like this first story.
I like that. That was clean.
Josh had a stank face on that one.
Okay. I'm taking notes.
This first story is, am I the asshole for telling my husband that I will divorce him tomorrow because he doesn't clean anymore?
Tomorrow?
I'm at my wit's end. Everything changed after marriage, and I couldn't tell you why. Our biggest problem is cleaning. My husband used to clean up after himself, but after marriage, he just completely stopped with no warning. We were dating for 3 years, engaged for one, and now freshly married. We're 28 and 29. After we got married, my husband stopped cleaning. He wouldn't pick up after himself, wouldn't do his agreed upon chores, and suddenly became a slob. It was like he's been intentionally dirtying things up. I stopped doing all of my housework out of protest a month into our marriage, and I now live in complete and utter filth. I'm rarely home due to the mess. I part-time live with my sister at this point, and he doesn't even care. I come home only to sleep at night, and sometimes I don't even come home at all. It's like we aren't even married anymore, and it's draining my mental health to the point where I've had multiple breakdowns this month. I'm completely over it. I wanted to get married, but this is not the man I married. I would much rather be home where I belong, but I'm not a maid. The mess is as follows. Wet food in the sink from him throwing his plate, finished or not, in there.
Ooh.
Bugs. Garbage littered everywhere. Puddles of mystery substances. The trash is never taken out. All of his laundry is dirty. Clothes unfolded. Crumbs galore. Takeout everywhere since he won't cook. Dishes piled to the sky. I can guarantee you there's more, but I can't describe it right now. It's like he's a toddler. It's exactly like mommy isn't cleaning up, so he's tornadoing through our house and not caring. Before, he would scrape his plate, rinse it, and leave it. He would take the trash outside, take the cans to the curb. He'd sweep, vacuum, occasionally do laundry, and he would never eat in the bed. Now he does it all. A few hours ago, I told him that if he doesn't clean up tonight, then I'm divorcing him tomorrow. If I don't see some progress on the house, then we're over. He told me that I'm being an asshole for no reason and that cleaning is no longer his job. I nearly popped a fucking blood vessel. We did not decide on that. He's telling me that I'm throwing everything away over pride and that all new marriages go through this transition.
No.
Bull fucking shit. He told his mom and she called me not too long ago and told me that I need to calm down and reconcile. I really love my mother-in-law, and she's one of the most level-headed people I know, hence the reason I'm writing this post. She's making me wonder if divorce is too far because it's only a mess. But it's mess. She told me that we can reach a compromise, that I need to take a breather and talk about it all, but I truthfully do not want to. She's reminded me of our good times, and life won't always be the way it is now. But I'm feeling incredibly skeptical. I cannot stand filth, and I can't live like this, even if it's for him. Am I the asshole? And then there's an edit.
No. No, no, no. When trash water is involved randomly in the house.
Mm-mm.
And then she said bugs. Now, we don't know what type of bugs, but probably roaches.
Any bugs are bad.
Yeah, any bugs. Maybe but maggots.
Especially roaches.
Definitely like gnats. Flies.
And then she said his clothes stink too.
Yeah, because all of his clothes are dirty.
I have a pet peeve for bad smelling things and messes. Last cruise, you know, in the cruise room, it's like very confined space. And I was working out of my suitcase. My suitcase got too dirty. I literally spent half the morning freaking out. And I disappeared for 2 hours to clean my suitcase.
Okay.
This would give me panic attacks if I lived in an environment like this. I would be so scared. I understand why she's not going home, because I would be like, no, there's no way I can. Like, and you know, you kind of get used to like your own type of mess, but it's like there's a difference between like an old type of mess and then like, no, you're just letting everything go.
Yeah.
And then I wonder what happened to make him this way, because it wasn't like it was this before.
Right.
Something had to happen for him to, because she said he wasn't even eating on his own bed, which a lot of people will even draw the line there. So it's like, I wonder what happened for him to just have that sudden change of heart.
Well, I heard that like after people get married, they like show their true colors because they know that you're like legally locked in. It's a lot harder to get out of it.
Yeah.
So I just... I wonder if he was just trying until they got married, and then he was like, well, she's probably not going to divorce me because that's money and time and effort,
yeah,
when really she could just clean up after me and it'll be fine.
Oh, man.
Which isn't a good thing, but I think that's probably how it happens.
Sucks.
Yeah. That's a sucky thing.
Yeah. It seemed like it was like a mental health thing almost, like depression, like a transition. Yeah. But then when she confronted him and he said, it's not my job anymore, I was like, oh, that's
gross.
Yeah.
That's a different thing. That's something weird that hopefully you can get out of it. I think your sister on the last episode did preach about doing everything you could do before divorce, trying to work everything out. So I kind of did agree with the mother-in-law, like, maybe try to approach some reconciliation only if he does his part, like he actually pulls in.
Right. Yeah.
But
yeah,
if he's like, it's not my job anymore and this is what we're going to do, like, I don't even care that we're living in this, then for me, divorce is probably the only way to get out of this. And it sucks that you seemingly got duped into it, like you didn't know who this person was before it happened. But try maybe one more time, see if he knows, maybe get the mother-in-law involved and hopefully something can be fixed. But yeah, I wouldn't want to live in that nastiness.
It's irritating for me that the mother-in-law is on his side, which I'm like, to a certain extent, I'm sure he probably got this from seeing the family style at his house.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's frustrating. Again, like with what Sam was saying, the fact that he's like, well, it's your job. No, it's not.
Yeah.
And she said, there's some people where that's how their family styles work. They probably talk about that of like, to a certain extent, of like, hey, like, what are chores that, you know, you're going to do? What are chores that I'm going to do? Like, how are we going to contribute to this family, hopefully equally, or just in general, like, have the talk about it so she understands that. She didn't agree to do that.
Right.
And so the fact that he's just switching it up on her is, eh. So edit, after writing a long comment, I'm done. I know I just posted, but I truly am done. My mother-in-law made me second guess myself, but all I needed was to think about it and hear an outside opinion, even if it's just one. He fooled me for 4 years, and marriage is not trapping me. He used to clean up after himself and be the most wonderful partner. It's a real shame that he showed his true colors after we paid so much on our wedding. I'm not a maid, and he's not a toddler. Even toddlers are more responsible and respectful than him. And top comment, not the asshole. Your husband's behavior is completely unacceptable. It's one thing to have a different cleaning standard, but it's another entirely to actively refuse to contribute to a shared living space. The level of filth you're describing is not just messy, it's unsanitary and disrespectful. And then somebody else said, the part where he says he doesn't have to clean now that he's married is especially bothersome. He truly believes this and will never change.
Yeah.
Which I think so too.
Yeah.
I don't think he would change.
Fortunately.
Mm-mm. Yeah, if he's not showing any signs that he wants to get better, or like, you know, this is a problem that he has and he wants to fix or change. Mm-mm. If he's comfortable in it,
mm-hmm,
well, he expects you to do something to fix it.
Mm-mm. That's what I was thinking, mental health, because I'm like, I've had bouts of depression where I'm like, I don't want to do anything, I don't want to clean anything, and I don't think it's ever gotten that bad, but I'm like, it's definitely where I'm like, there's this clutter everywhere, and you're like, hopefully you can help him through that, but if he has you also have to want to do something about it too at the same time, and it's weird, it started right when you got married.
Do you, since it's something you've had experience with, do you think what he said was coming from a place of a potential depression spout?
Actually, potentially, because I have lashed out at someone who mentioned something that I was like dating at the time, and they mentioned something about it. And I was like, if you feel that way about it, like, then leave then. Because I'm like, this is how I feel. Like, I just feel comfortable like this. And that was definitely me just talking out of it.
I could definitely be wrong, but I feel like you guys are giving him the benefit of the doubt. Because, I don't know, I definitely think it could be like a problem of, you know, depression and not wanting to clean and just not, you know, caring for that period of time and just, you know, but I think it's really just a matter of he just thinks that that's her job. And the fact that he, like, somebody said in the comments, like, the moment she kind of fought back a little bit, he, like, went and told his mom, and then his mom tried to call him and be like, girl, that's just the way it is.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, and then with him being okay with a lot of things, of, like, her basically staying at her sister's house a lot and, like, not coming home sometimes, it's like, okay, what's going on here? And I'm like, maybe it could be a depressive episode.
Yeah.
I guess we don't know.
I think the only reason I was given the benefit of the doubt was because of the 3 years before.
Yeah.
Like, I feel people who have those thought processes, like the women's supposed to clean and do all that stuff, show earlier signs of doing that before the marriage or being having more traditional values and roles of people. So that's why I'm like, it just seemed weird that it happened right when the marriage happened. It could be totally, he's just like, no, we're married now, you're mine and you're my maid. I don't know.
Yeah. I wasn't necessarily giving the benefit of doubt. I just wanted, I just had questions.
I just,
as a person that hasn't experienced depression, I was like, maybe that could be an avenue, but not like in a way of like, well, it's excused. No, what he did was still trash.
Mm-hmm.
It's still really bad.
So you're trying to get to the root of it though. Huh?
Yeah. That's always my thing. I always want to know the why of, I mean, we talked about this in a couple episodes. I just want to know the why of things sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think that's where a lot of my questioning comes from, is just to figure out, okay, why would somebody do something like that?
That's good.
Well, the bigger red flag is like, why would he be okay with like her staying at the house, like the sister's house? Like maybe they have like a trampoline in the backyard.
She's smiling from the very beginning. It's clearly a transition. She tried to make it longer to see why it wasn't, but I'm like, no.
No, it needed to be long to build up to it, but I couldn't commit to like not smiling for that long.
She looked at me smiling. Yeah. I was just like, what? Oh, okay. All right.
He said, oh, is that type okay?
She's like, if he's like, bigger and bigger, she's like,
no way we just went from this deep conversation. She's like, yeah, but like maybe it's like, well, actually,
like, why is she smiling for this, her answer?
That was great.
No, that was one of Maddie's worst. Maddie's been doing so good, and when I mean good, like she's doing great transitions even though they're very hurtful, but that was one of her worst she's done in a long time.
I think it was good because it made me laugh.
So this next one is, am I overreacting that a trampoline might break my relationship?
I've always said that trampolines are the most dangerous things to relationships. They've always been the most dangerous things.
I thought you were going to say something else at first. I was like, okay. I thought you were going to say trampolines are the most dangerous things ever, like in general.
No, not ever. Just to relationships.
I was really hoping you were going to do like a dad joke or something. No.
Why would you think you would do that?
Because that's something he would do.
He doesn't know.
Reference would I have to know what a dad joke is?
Why would you even say that, Brandon?
Who's my dad, Brandon?
Brandon, why would you say that?
I didn't have a dad to give me dad jokes, Brandon. Brandon.
You wanted to get to the root of the problem.
He just got dug right into it.
Sam, no, that's my fault. I didn't mean that.
Dad jokes.
I didn't mean that, but...
Not the laugh.
All I know is single mom jokes. Okay. That's all I've heard.
Am I overreacting that a trampoline might break my relationship? I'm typing this out right now, shaking. I'm mad. My female 28 boyfriend, male 35, of 5 years, just bought a new house. He was excited and said he wanted to get the kids, 2 and 8, a trampoline for the backyard. I was a hard no, because I've literally seen 4 separate incidents of people breaking limbs on trampolines with and without safety features. He wore me down. Finally, I said I'd be willing to compromise if we bought the trampoline that has net/no springs. It would be costlier, but a bit safer. I thought we were on the same page until a week later, his family showed up with their old 30-year-old plus trampoline.
What the heck?
No nets, no covers, just the old-fashioned 14-foot trampoline.
Jeez.
God, no.
His family was really excited because they grew up on this thing, and it's been sitting on their father's backyard forever. They were excited that it's going to be back in use for the kids. I bit my lip for the majority of the party, but my boyfriend could tell I was upset, and I said, I thought we said no to this trampoline, and he swore to me that it would be okay, and he would make sure to get spring covers and a net for the kids. I made him promise in front of his entire family. Fast forward 2 months later, he attempted to get a spring cover, but it didn't fit, so it now sits in the box in the mudroom. Today, my son and my nephew, both 8, were jumping. Lo and behold, my son jumps back and falls off with one leg still hanging by the trampoline. Mm. It's not a huge injury, and I go to my boyfriend and tell him I'm concerned, and he laughs. He's refusing to get a net. He said he can buy another spring cover, but the net is out of the question. And now he's saying that he never promised a net, and I'm livid. Now he is telling me that I'm not allowing our kids to have any fun or risky play, and that I'm stunting their growth because I won't allow them to get hurt. He keeps looking up things that support risky play and trying to get me to watch it to somehow change my mind. This isn't one of those things. Am I overreacting? And then there's an update.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I think those things he's looking up, I think there's probably some merit to it, but it just seems like this 30-year-old trampoline probably not the thing you should be really jumping on.
Right.
Like, times have changed in 30 years. Like, different technologies have occurred that maybe I wouldn't trust my kids on this thing. That you're totally not overreacting in this. In my opinion, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm cutting a hole in the trampoline. I'm like, I'm killing it. I'm getting rid of this thing.
Yeah, because did any of you guys have a trampoline when you were younger?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't.
I did.
Was it old? Was it dangerous?
Did you have the net?
Was it 30 years in the family?
We did not have the net. I think we may have had the spring covers.
Mm-hmm.
I remember you have a trampoline. You remember we made a video together like 10 years ago?
Yes. Oh, my God. It was on your old Instagram. I tried to find it the other day. I think Jazz might still follow your old Instagram.
Yeah, because my old Instagram got hacked.
Yeah.
But oh my God, I forgot that skit.
Yeah, that was a great time.
I think I filmed it, and I filmed Jazz, Josh, and Brandon.
So they were the plot of the skit was they double jumped me out of the trampoline, but I jumped so high that I fall off the trampoline and land on
the
fence.
On the fence, yeah.
Oh.
That was it.
Acting was great.
Yeah.
Special effects, man.
Yeah, my voice was extra high in that one. That was crazy.
You gotta find that video and put it in.
Well, if Jazz still follows, then it's on the page.
Where did he go?
Oh, there he is.
Oh my God, I need to see this.
The fact that Brandon remembers the quote. So yes, I now remember you have a trampoline.
Yes. And I don't think it was that dangerous. Like, I mean, I feel like there's one time I fell in between the springs because we didn't have the spring cover on. And, you know, I may hurt the crown jewels.
Ooh.
But other than that, I don't think I ever, you know, broke any bones or, you know, got really hurt. So I don't think it was that dangerous. But also, it was a new trampoline.
Yeah.
In this story, it's a, how old is the trampoline?
30 years.
30 year old trampoline, probably with rusty springs.
Yep.
No lie.
Yeah.
There was a time period when me and Sadia worked at a trampoline park technically together.
Yeah.
I worked there for about 3 days, and then I realized it was so unorganized because I realized that I don't think they knew that I was on payroll. Mm. So I think they just didn't know who I was. They just wrote my name down because I didn't have payroll at that point because it was so new. At the trampoline park, they talked about all the time how people would like break something.
Mm.
And so I'm sure it is super dangerous.
Right.
And I think the bigger thing, though, is the fact of, like, I guess people can have such big, you would think people would have big issues about, like, kids and, like,
right.
religion. Yeah. But these people have big, like, differences of opinion on a trampoline.
Yeah. And but I feel
or,
like,
or levels of safety.
Let me cut you.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like my biggest problem with him in this story is the fact that he gave his word, basically.
Yeah. That he went
like
back
he said,
on
oh,
it.
And she made sure, too. She's like, I made sure he promised me in front of his whole family. Right. And then, you know, he didn't fall through. And then what I'm guessing, what I got from what you read was that he kind of gaslighted her of like, I never told you I was going to buy a net. Yeah. It's like, yo, bro.
Well also the point when the kid got hurt, he was laughing.
Yeah.
That's the difference. Because now I do agree with you, Josh. Like, the main problem is that he went back. He said he was going to do it. He wasn't.
Right.
Because a lot of people do have very differing views on like how much you should quote unquote baby a kid, like how much you should do. Like sometimes they need to get some dirt on them. They need to get all that. And so we were like, no, why would I unnecessarily let them have that?
Yeah.
And I don't think there's really, from my perspective, there's not like one that's better than the other. I'm like, as long as they're like,
you can balance
alive and they're staying alive and they're not like getting really hurt.
Yeah.
Maybe like if you want to baby them, that's fine. If you don't, That's just up to your perspective. But if you both agree on it, if you both say that you're going to do it, then stand on that.
Like, yes.
You said you're going to do it, do it.
Right. Because that's where the first lie came from. He said, and they agreed to buy a new trampoline with a net and a cover. And he comes back saying, oh, yeah, I just bought a 30-year-old trampoline and we're going to put it in the backyard. And it's like, whoa, hey, hey, wait. We agreed. We knew it was going to be expensive, but we agreed to get the new one.
The new one, yeah.
It just seems cheap, man.
Yeah. And, I mean, if you're going to do that, at least, like, defend your case when you come back. Like, oh, yeah, but I made sure I checked it out. I oiled this. I did that. I renovated the trampoline, made sure it's safe. I checked this out. This man just came with the dusty trampoline and was like, this is what we're doing. And it's just like,
I don't think any renovations could have. What am I?
Oh my god. Oh.
I was like, where did my voice go? I don't think any renovations could even help that though.
Right? No, not really. I mean, you can make it look new, but it's probably still old. And yeah, it's just like, if you agree to that, y'all have that conversation, then it's just like, at least bring that up when you bring the trampoline. Like, hey, I know we agreed on this, but it seems like he's trying to just bypass that. And just be like, okay, but no, this is what we're doing because I said so and I bought this. And it's like, whoa.
What do you think about her question? Do you think she's overreacting for wanting to divorce him over it?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit.
Sam.
Yeah, a little bit. I do think that.
He's mumbling though, so
yeah.
Don't trust that. He's just mumbling right now.
I do. I do think this is something that can be worked on. I don't know if it should be easy, but I do think that's something that shouldn't end a marriage over, personally.
I believe you definitely should talk about it, but the conversation should be more so how do you want to raise your kids than at this point?
Yeah.
That's the root of the issue.
Yeah.
It's not the actual safety. He's like, oh, trampolines are fine. It was a 30-year-old trampoline.
He grew up on that trampoline.
So he's like, oh, I did it. They can do it too. It's fine. They'll get hurt every once in a while. And she's like the parent where it's like, no, we're going to avoid as many injuries as possible.
Right.
Right.
Just talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if he grew up on the trampoline, it's like, it was probably new when y'all got it. Give your kids a new trampoline. Like, what, dude? Come on. Just think. Let's think for a second.
Yeah, I agree. Cause was that her? I think that was her initial question, right? Oh, she was just saying it might break the relationship.
Yeah,
I lied about that. Sorry about that. I feel like it could be something that's worked on too. But I think if this ends up becoming a pattern of behavior, that's where it could maybe be a problem.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
especially because she shared her worries about her kids, then her son and nephew get hurt. And then he laughs like that over time would be like, that's a problem.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Whether you think it's OK for him to be hurt or not. Like. Yeah,
totally agree.
Because, again, like I think Sam said it, just if you're going to be the play in the dirt parent or the play in the house parent, just hopefully you find a partner that for the most part is like meet like on both sides. Or if you're hardcore on either side, be there with the other partner, too, or else you're just going to get in fights.
Yeah.
So update already. Wow. Lots of people want me to shank the tramp. And though the idea appeals to my unhinged side, I really want to go a less property damage-y route. I told him to get out of here. I told him to get it out of here.
Get out of here, bud.
Go get na.
For all of those asking, I did offer to pay for the other tramp 50-50 and offered for the net. He said he had it. I asked multiple times. I did tell him that it would mess with our homeowner's insurance. I don't think he cared. Yes, he had the money to pay for the accessories. I don't want to steal from him to pay for it. For the record, we both pay the bills. I take on a bit more. This is not a financial thing. I feel like I've calmed down a bit. And yes, this was less of a trampolines are dangerous / how can I fix the trampoline I don't want thing. More of a am I crazy for feeling like I'm not being heard here / respected. He also takes the stance of the injuries building character. He says it teaches them personal responsibility, which I disagree with. Anyway, it's leaving. I'm less angry. Bigger problems at play.
That's wild seeing the, because they're 28. He's 28.
She's 28. 28, he's like 29, 35.
I think.
She's
29. Oh, 29. I think 28, like 29. Let me check.
That's such a thing.
I thought she was 29. And he like was
younger. Oh, you're right. Parents would say. You're right, Josh. 28 and 35.
Okay.
Younger parents would say, I feel like, oh, it builds character. Because we always say it like, oh, there's your canon event, or it'll build character for you. Yeah. But like to see that actually happen to a child, like, oh, yeah, he just fell off the trampoline. Don't worry, it's going to build character.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, you can say that after you made sure the kid's okay.
Yeah. Not during or right. Well, it actively could potentially hurt them in a bad way.
Yeah. Man. Hey, not going to be my kid. Like this next story. Sam did it, though. I heard the huff from Sam.
I didn't mean to.
Wait, this is story number three?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Am I the asshole to divorce my husband and leave him with the kid after finding out I'm not biologically the mom?
How is that possible?
Yeah, how did that...
That's exactly what I thought.
Where were you?
Right, was this...
I cannot believe my life has come to this. All I ever do is go out of my way to help others, but on the few occasions I need help, nobody ever comes through for me. I, 36 female, have been with my husband, 35 male, for a total of almost 10 years. Married for 6. We had what I thought was my child by surrogate over 2 years ago because after 4 years of trying to conceive with no success, despite medical interventions, it turns out that I am unable to carry a child to term. I've always wanted to be a mom. Devastated is an understatement regarding how I felt when I found out I had a medical condition that would make it nearly impossible to carry a baby to term. It was even more upsetting when I had to get a major surgery to remove my uterine growths with the hope to increase fertility, and complications during surgery warranted a partial hysterectomy involving removal of my uterus only. I still had my ovaries, so we started looking into the cost of a surrogate. It is really expensive. My close friends since college, who had already had 2 kids of her own, offered to serve as the surrogate for us to cut down on costs. After 2 disappointing IVF sessions that did not result in pregnancy, she became pregnant on the 3rd try and carried a boy to term for us. I was so happy and busy after the birth between being a mom and returning to work after a 4-week parental leave, I didn't even notice any warning signs. I should have noticed the red flags and warning signs early on, but I did not because I was so exhausted from working so much at my stressful job and 2 part-time jobs to cover most of the bills and anticipated medical and legal costs associated with a friend becoming our surrogate. I was the primary breadwinner. My friend and my husband started talking more, and I would sometimes come home from my weekend job to find her already hanging out at our house when my husband was there. I chalked it up as innocuous, and it's good for her to get to know my husband better since she was in the process of hopefully carrying our child for us. I was grateful to have someone helping us have a child. I also thought it was weird that our son has brown eyes when both of us have blue. Then I found out that while it is uncommon, it's possible sometimes due to many genes controlling eye color. Recently, it all came to head when I took our son to the doctor's appointment. They did a metabolic panel and blood tests, which showed that he had a blood type that is not biologically possible to have with me as his mother.
Oh.
He's B plus, I'm A plus, and husband is O plus. Immediately, I started wondering if it was the fertility clinic's fault and that they'd messed up and implanted a wrong embryo. I started lining up lawyer consultations to possibly sue the clinic and looked into having a DNA parentage test done. The test results showed that I'm not the mother, but my husband is still the father. I was heartbroken and angrier than ever. I talked to lawyers about medical malpractice in the fertility clinic that we used, and then my husband confessed that he slept with my friend, our surrogate, on a few different occasions during our struggle to have her get pregnant with our embryos. This means what I thought was our son conceived by IVF and carried with a surrogate isn't my son at all. It was in fact conceived the old-fashioned way, which I can't ever do. Livid and absolutely broken at the same time doesn't even begin to describe how I feel. I've been breaking down into crying spells over and over again about this. He claims he didn't even think pregnancy could result because he pulled out and he had always assumed that he was the reason for our early struggles to conceive. Both before my hysterectomy and during the IVF insemination process with this friend. I felt an immediate triple betrayal from what was supposed to be my husband, my friend, and now knowing my child isn't even mine. I had such white hot rage and delirium. I immediately left home and stayed at a hotel for almost a week before asking my parents to let me stay at home for a while. I admit I left our son with him. I'm now filing divorce because he cheated and betrayed me in the worst way possible. I also cut off my friendship with my friend, the surrogate, and feel afraid to trust anyone else now. I've seen a divorce lawyer to see about giving up my legal rights to this kid so I don't have to face such betrayal or owe child support. My husband and friend slash surrogate admit they were wrong and keep apologizing, but also called me immature and heartless to just give up on my son like that. My parents also say I can't just give up on a kid that I went through so many legal and medical hoops to have. When I told them I refused to stay in a cheater marriage and I'd rather adopt Sunday with a better and more trustworthy partner, they also told me that I was wrong and that maintaining my parental rights isn't much different than if I adopted outright. They say it isn't blood that makes a family. They're all about me divorcing my cheater husband, but keep telling me that I'm making a mistake, giving up my parental rights. Some of my other friends agree with what I'm doing. A few admitted that they weren't big enough to swallow pride and care for an affair baby or to see daily reminders of my friend slash surrogate's betrayal every time they look at her son. I just want a clean break and a fresh start. I'm also looking at relocating several states away. Am I the asshole to give up my parental rights in the divorce because a kid I paid a lot of money to have born by surrogacy isn't biologically mine at all, but the surrogates?
Woo.
Yeah.
Did you clock it like right in the beginning? Huh? That's why you said, oh.
Yeah.
I clocked it the second, well, I don't remember what it was, but I was like, right before,
like, yeah, when they said surrogate, I said,
well, before, ooh, like right when she started, I was like, oh, it's a surrogate. That's something like that. Like,
right. Yeah. Okay.
Oh my God. That is so, that is the roughest outcome you could ever have.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Because, yeah. And I wonder what it is about some of these stories where the parents are just not, at least from our perspective, on like a logical side of things. Mm. Like, they're like, oh, don't leave your child. It's like, that's not her child. Right. And her mom, the actual mom has the actual ability to, because it's her child.
Right.
Yeah, I just feel like, it's like the grandparents are so into this idea of having grandkids. Mm.
That they're willing to use her to get to
like,
it.
Hey, this is a grandkid. And it is weird that they're not thinking of them as like, from their kid's perspective of what this is.
Yeah.
Right. But I'm like, I feel like this is a common thing that grandparents think of it that way. It's like, hey, it's a kid is a kid. And
right.
I want it in my life. And you suck it up and get over it.
Yeah. I feel like that's like society in general. Once you reach a certain age and you're in a relationship, they're just like, oh, hey, when are you going to have kids? Yeah, and it's like, it. Who said we have to do that?
Right.
Right. You
know what I mean? One thing or one question that I do have is, I guess it wasn't really a question, but an observation. The husband was basically saying as like an excuse of like, oh, I thought, you know, I was infertile or whatever. That's why, you know, I wasn't scared to do what he did. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense. She literally had to go through several operations to try and up her chances of being able to have a child.
Right.
And, you know, he's using that as an excuse. I'm like, were you ever diagnosed with anything? Like, did you have to get any surgeries? No. I feel like he was just using that as an excuse.
And what does that matter? You cheated.
Exactly.
Like, I don't care if you thought you couldn't have kids. Why did you have sex with her?
Exactly.
He's like, I thought it was fine because I couldn't have kids. You're like, that's not what I'm mad about. I'm not mad about that part. I'm mad about you sleeping with her to begin with.
Literally.
That's crazy.
Wait.
Literally.
I just thought I could do it because I'm not going to have a kid. Right. It's like, you cheated.
The cheating is a bad thing.
You literally cheated, though.
Yeah. And especially the fact that, you know, she talks about it. She even, like, points it out. But they ended up having a baby the way that she couldn't have a baby. Yeah. And so it was even more of, like, a rub in the face that of not hurts. Only the fact that you cheated on me, but you literally did it, you know.
You had the thing I wanted to have.
The thing I wanted to have.
And you did it in the way I can't.
Right.
Mm.
And, yeah. And you never would have told me unless I would have done all these tests and figured it out.
Yeah.
You only probably told me because you realized I was about to be putting a lot of our money into suing people who didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
So
I've been very in like surrogate things lately because I watched the Man with a Thousand Kids.
Yeah, I actually watched somebody review that, and that was crazy.
What?
That's
on Netflix.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. There's a dude, I think it was the Netherlands, and there's people in the Netherlands, like some people who like couldn't have kids, they were looking for surrogates, and they would go to like sperm banks, but they would also, they found a website of like you could request it going outside of the system to like request guys to do it. And they found this guy, and he was like, yeah, I'll do it. And he went, and he would donate. A couple of people we actually slept with who were like, who were willing to sleep with him. But it comes to find out, like, he would always say, like, oh, I'm only doing this for five families. I just want to help five families out, and that's it.
Okay.
But he was lying. He was like, he was doing to hundreds of people on this website. He was donating to sperm banks, and they have limits of, like, you could only have 50 or so many at a time. He was like lying.
Yeah, you ever. There's a max.
Oh, yeah, in the entire country. But he was going to all these ones and just, like, lying.
And it was, like, in the honor system.
Yeah, they didn't check. There was no system to actually check. So he was just like, yeah. He kept donating over and over again. And, of course, the problem was, like, having so many kids in a concentrated area, they would meet each other. Mm. And they're like, there's this phenomenon of siblings, if they don't know each other, that they're attracted. Like, they want to be around them because they see something in them. And they're like, he has hundreds of kids in this area.
In the Netherlands. And they're like, this is a small area.
And he was also traveling internationally. So he's donating internationally in countries everywhere. And basically the documentary is like how... basically the moms banded together because like it wasn't, it's not illegal what he was doing. Like there's the rules, but it's like there's no laws. Yeah, so like how can we stop this man from having kids?
Because of the effects that it could have biologically in the future if a lot of the kids in the world come from him. And also, they didn't talk about this in the documentary, but the person that I was watching, shout out Kenny JD, who was reviewing it, she was talking about how there seemed to be a very much... eugenics type about it because he was blonde hair, blue eyed. And so he was seeming like trying to spread his seed. Maybe he was also trying to go like Africa.
Yeah, in the last episode, they kind of talk about that. Like, I'm giving my gift. Yeah,
my gift of whiteness.
When they went to Africa, they're like, this is my gift to the world, and they should be happy that. Because it wasn't just him. There was like four or five other guys. They had met up, and they were
there was a Facebook group.
Yeah, and they were like,
and they like talked about. They're like, oh, I gave here.
Yeah, it was one of the wildest things ever. I'm like, some people just want to have kids, and there's people like taking advantage of that fact. Mm. You would never even think this is a thing I should be scared of. But and when they confront him, they're like, why are you doing this? He's like, I just think I'm doing a good thing in the world. And the thing that hurt me, the sick to me, was he knew all the kids because they would like send them like, oh, this is a kid who was born. They're sending pictures. He had like a database of all the kids, and they were like, can you tell us who the kids are because we want to be protected? Because they were accidentally finding siblings at their kids' schools. They're like, this kid looks like this kid. And that's when they started to piece it together. Wow. Like, can you tell us all the kids? He's like, no. I won't tell you who
and
the
I
kids
feel
are.
Like, wasn't he saying it was like maybe 1,000 plus in the Netherlands? Or was that like 1,000 plus around the world?
No, around the world. Because I think it was like 400 to 500 in the Netherlands.
In the Netherlands.
And then it was got up.
That man needs water torture.
They don't know the full number. It's probably way more than that.
That man needs water torture. You're like, you going to give up this information. We need to know everyone. That what? 400 to 500.
And the thing that bothers me about, there's just certain people where once they have like a rhetoric in their mind, it's like it's not gonna change. Like
he
him
was
being
not
like
changing.
I believe I'm benefiting the world, and some people are like, no, you're literally potentially hurting the world in the future. And the fact that he seems like he was blind to even seeing that to be true. Like he just wouldn't accept it. He's like, no, I'm not.
Oh, and the creepier thing was he was like when he traveled the world, he did like a YouTube channel. Yeah. And they were like, oh, it seems like he's trying to like he's like teaching these kids through this YouTube channel because it's like he would give lessons and like cultural
on how to
things.
Do it?
No, not on just like a
just
life
on
lessons.
Life.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, and that's what attracted a lot of those parents to him because they're like, oh, we like how he thinks, his philosophy. He's going around, but it just made it all super creepy with that over it. I'm like, oh man.
Yeah.
So surrogates, man, watch out.
Yeah. Mm. So top comment, he cheated. It's not yours. I will absolutely tell you that what I tell men posting this, it would be wonderful if you love the kid enough to stay. But if you're in shock and damaged too much to do so, you are not the asshole for walking away.
Yeah.
not the asshole, and I'm glad to see most of the replies so far agree. I hope we keep this energy up for anyone who put in this spot from now on. So, yeah.
Because I think I've heard about the whole, like, husband sleeping with the surrogate before. I feel like I've heard that kind of story before.
But it's just devastating how quickly they got pregnant and then her realizing. That's rough. Because it's like, she was like, I finally have my kid. And then it's like, no, it's not your kid. It's, he cheated on you.
Yeah, because there's so many already difficult things that women have to go through in choosing a surrogate. Because they're like, I feel like less of a woman because I can't bring a child into the world. So they have to confront that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then to have this other woman, how hurtful this is for OP, how many betrayals stacked upon each other that makes this worse and worse. That I definitely don't think you're the asshole for not wanting to separating yourself from the situation as much as possible. Mm-hmm. It sucks.
Yeah. And the fact that, like, well, I guess it was, like, not really a surrogate. But I was going to say, like, the fact that the husband slept with her, like, that's really illegitimate. It's not professional, like this next story.
Oh, we're not doing fracture arm.
Wow. Right.
It's not really fractured arm.
Like this next story.
That was. Oh,
I
mean, God.
I didn't catch it, but I got to be a part of it. So oh, yeah. I'm happy.
Okay, so this next story is serious, and I'd say trigger warning for physical abuse. My fiance fractured my arm after thinking I had a man in our home. Am I overreacting? Should I marry my fiance after he put his hands on me? My fiance is an amazing guy. We first started off as friends, so the foundation of our relationship is pretty strong. He's perfect and so good to me in every way a man can be good to a woman. However, he can be very controlling, territorial, and because of his childhood, he has a lot of trust issues. He owns his own trucking company and sometimes is gone for days, even weeks at a time. Recently, he went away and was coming back, and I was excited to see him. And when he came back, the neighbor's car was parked in my driveway, which it never is, but I gave him permission to do so because of an event he was having at his house, and our HOA doesn't allow parking in the street. When my fiance came home, I was in the bathroom shaving, and all of a sudden he came in yelling, "Who the fuck is in the house?" and checking in the shower, closet, bed, etc. I remember feeling so confused, I didn't even respond. And that's when he grabbed my arm and he kept shaking me, calling me a f***ing liar and saying that I was like his mom and a lot of other hurtful things. And when he found no one in the house, I eventually realized he saw the neighbor's car and thought I had another man in there. There was also a man's boots on the steps, but they were his. So I'm confused on how things escalated so quickly in his mind. My fiance fractured my arm, so I had to go to the hospital. Now he's apologizing, and I feel like in my mind, if I marry him, I'm allowing him to think his behavior is okay, but another piece of me feels like he is a good man. I have distanced myself from him since, and he keeps bringing me more expensive gifts, jewelry, roses, and other nonsense. I've never experienced this side of him, and we have been together for 2 years. I'm so torn, and I don't know what to do. I am 30 female, and he is 36 male. Am I overreacting?
Do not continue in this relationship.
Yeah, I agree. I think, I don't know what it is. I feel like sometimes people don't really show who they are. I think that's kind of like the best advice that I can give in a relationship is try and be with them for like as long as possible before, like she said, we started off as friends, which I think is crazy because they started off as friends. So, I mean, maybe you just never really know, but yeah.
You
kind of want to see your partner in every single fraction. Like you want to see them sad, angry, happy. You want to see how they like react to stuff like this. And I don't think you should forgive it because I think, you know, I think she knows, which is why she was saying, I feel like if I do this, he's going to think it's okay. And I think that is going to happen where he's going to apologize and it's going to be a pattern. He's going to buy you stuff afterwards, but he's going to do that. Like, somebody I think goes on to mention how she has like such a confusion in her mind because she talks about how like how good of a guy he is. Mm-hmm. But then she goes on to like show like talk about like three really big red flags: controlling, territorial, and has a lot of trust issues.
Yeah,
which are big red flags. And I'm not saying that stuff cannot change over time, especially the trust issues with therapy.
Yeah,
but the fact that he has those, so he's always going to he might change, but he's always going to react like that, at least for now.
Yep.
And especially if you make it seem like, if you go on with the relationship, I feel like he's going to think it's okay and he's going to treat you like that. And I feel like it could get worse. This is the beginning.
Right.
And I really hope that OP leaves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because if your reaction is basically you losing control to the point where you can fracture somebody's arm.
Mm-hmm.
Someone you love.
Right. Yeah, that's no good.
I think it was Sam that was saying, like, it's something like, don't touch people. Like, you know, just, I mean, it's obviously like a well-known fact, but like, especially when you're upset, just don't touch people.
Right.
Because stuff like this will happen. And if you get in the habit of touching people when you're angry, it's just going to get worse. The only time you should touch your partner is to comfort afterwards, after you've talked about it in the heat of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But then,
I mean, there's other touches.
Yeah, there's other touches, encouraged. But I won't get into that. Okay, yeah. But yeah, like in serious moments.
Yeah.
If you're angry, don't touch your partner. Let's just leave it at that. It's easy. Keeps you out of trouble.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think she's asking because she knows the answer too. I think it's very plain and simple.
Yeah, because I like what Maddie said with, like, you can see, we date people, we see your partner has faults, there's right. things, he's controlling those kinds of things. You know, like, those are things I'm mindful of. But as soon as it turns physical, then I'm like, then that's it. Like, that's it. You might get better, you might get better with therapy, you might be able to do those things, but I'm not going to be the person you test that on.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You actually lost the privilege right when you put your hands on me. You fractured my arm. Like, that's it for me.
Yeah.
So it's a difference between you recognizing those signs and then it actually being acted on. You should just be done.
I also don't know what it is. Maybe just because of the dramatization of domestic violence during, like, TV shows and stuff of that nature.
Yeah.
But the gift giving after always is a red flag to me. Like,
yeah,
I don't know what it, like, no amount of gift giving can mend that in my head. Like, yeah.
But they have to show that because it works. People are doing
it. It's like
that
a real thing.
It does yeah. work. Because you're like, ah, oh. They get in your head when you're like, maybe it was me. Mm-hmm. Like, he only got mad because I did that little thing. I shouldn't have done that. Mm-hmm. And now he does feel bad about it. He gave me gifts.
Yeah.
You're like, okay. And that's how the cycle continues.
I've literally yeah. experienced that, but with, like, verbal abuse and then, like, the apology of, like, giving gifts, or it's never an actual apology. It's never taking accountability.
Yep.
It is always, you let the steam roll. Like, you know, they talk to you a certain way. They make you upset. They, like, belittle you. And then, you know, the next day they come in and they're just really nice.
They're like,
I'm making, you know, making yeah. dinner tonight, or I brought you something. Just very talkative, or, you know, that is really what it's like, because they're trying to be on their best behavior until you let it slide.
Because they know,
and then
they're
fine again, and then it's the cycle. Then they say something mean, they take it out on you again, and then it goes back. So I will say it's very much like that. It's like, I'm on my best behavior. I want you to be so happy. Here's me doing all these things for you.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't ever truly change. I think the person that I've dealt with that before, like, the actual person has never apologized.
Mm-hmm.
They've still don't ever take accountability. They are very defensive. Like, the moment you even try and bring up, like, hey, you did this in the past. I mean, you do it now, but you did it in the past too. And they're like, no, like, give me examples. Give me exact examples that I did too.
Ooh, you know? Yeah. I feel like that's one of the biggest ones.
And I'm like, I can't remember, dude. It happened so long ago. But like we said, you might not remember, like, what a person says to you, but you remember how a person makes you feel.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I remember how you made me feel in those countless moments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, it's like, it's yeah.
Man.
I don't think it's ever going to change.
And because it's that cycle too, where it's happened multiple times, when they say that, like, we'll bring up examples, and you're like, well, this time, you're like, well, why didn't you do anything about
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're blaming you. It's like, it's your fault that you're allowing that. Like, we make the joke like you allow, but I'm like, that's how their argument. They're like, why didn't you say anything before when that happened? If it was really that big of a deal, you're like,
that's exactly what it is.
Well, because I felt uncomfortable. Like, no matter what reason, what you did was wrong, but they turned it on you.
They
and then
always
you start blaming
it.
Yourself. You're like, dang, I didn't say anything. I should have said something. That's how deep it gets into your mind.
Mm. Yeah, I think there was literally one time where there was this, I remember one time I had like pleased this person where we like lived together and they would just always come home and find something to complain about, or they would just have a horrible day, or they would not be doing well mentally and they would always take it out on me. And I remember they would always have all those little things that they complain about. And I literally did all of those things and they were like literally walking around the house like, oh, and they were like in a good mood about it. But I was like, I was relieved because I was like, I did everything and I don't have anything for you to complain about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, this is the one day where I'm like, you genuinely cannot complain about anything because everything is done.
Right.
Which in a way, it's like you're basically trying to create your world around that person for them to be completely okay. And only then will your life be easier.
Man.
And that was something that I experienced too at work too, where I was like, this is like, you know, a toxic work environment. It was the same thing. It was like, you're on eggshells. Mm. And if your boss is happy, that's the only way you're going to be happy. Otherwise you're not going to hear the end of it and you're going to feel uncomfortable and upset. And, I don't really know. I don't want to say that people who abuse others can never be fully like healed from that.
They can
not be healed from that, you know what I'm
saying,
but like be a better person and realize what they did, and you know, and then be better and not hurt other people. But to be honest, I really haven't seen it with the people that I've experienced it with, because they never take accountability.
I just don't think it's going to happen with the person you abused.
No, in this example, I don't think so, because he's not taking accountability for it.
Yeah,
I say anyone's been abused, I say get out of the situation. It's not your job to save them or make sure they get better. That's something they need to do on their own.
Yeah,
for sure.
Maybe, hopefully they do get better on their own and they can find someone where they don't do that to another person, but that's not on you to be there for them.
Yeah. So right. Top comment, should I marry my this person is quoting some of the things that they took and then they're going to respond to it.
Okay.
So they said from OP's statement, should I marry my fiance after he put his hands on me? No. Now onto the rest of the post. And then in quotes, he's so perfect and good to me in every way. A man can be good to a woman. However, he's very controlling, territorial, and because of his childhood has trust issues. And they say these two sentences contradict each other. Mm-hmm. It's concerning that you don't seem to realize that. And then another quote, now he is apologizing and I feel like in my mind, if I marry him, I'm allowing him to think his behavior is okay. But another piece of me feels he is a good man. And they comment, no, he's not. Again, the fact that you think that is truly concerning. He saw a car parked in your driveway, leaped to cheating instead of, oh, like a visitor, a tradesman, a family member. Jesus, it could have been one of your girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
Then despite any evidence of his delusions, he physically assaulted you and broke your arm. That is not a good man. That isn't close to a good man. He's not in the same ballpark as a good man.
Right.
After reading the whole post, still no, you don't marry someone who physically assaults you. That doesn't get better. That gets worse.
Hmm. Yeah, we have all these Reddit stories. I think we've mentioned it before. Like, people are like, I have the perfect relationship. And then, except for this one really bad, horrible thing, but it's great otherwise. I'm like,
yeah, I often wonder, like, what's the thing that's like, is her love language like gifts and something? And so, like, when he buys gifts, she like thinks, oh, this is a good relationship because he's actually just attacking a love language or like villain or not weaponizing it against her to make her think that it's a good relationship.
Mm. I think, again, specifically in the abuse relationship, I think it really is just a matter of mending the relationship quicker. Like, whatever they know that you love, they will get for you, or they will be better for that period of time. Yeah. I don't know if that's necessarily, like, all, because even for me, when that was happening to me, I wouldn't say my love language was gifts, but that was one of the things that he would do, was, or he would do acts of service. Like, he would just do something nice. He was just trying to do something nice to make me happier, to make me forgive him so that he could do it again.
Yeah. From what I've heard from different stories of, like, you know, maybe my friends who went through like emotional abuse and stuff like that, like the abuser will get them to a point where they have like really high highs and then really low lows. And like Maddie said, like they'll do that you know, whatever that is, to abuse that person again, and then really high to keep you there, and then they'll do it again.
Mm-hmm. All right, so this next one is from r/pettyrevenge.
My favorite.
Oh.
You're not going to like these paragraphs, though, we're Sam. Back. Check those out. Okay. Check those paragraphs out.
That's disgusting to look at.
And you'll see it if you're watching on YouTube or if you're watching physically. You'll see the paragraphs that Sam doesn't like.
They're puking.
They're like, take it off the screen.
Break it up into multiple sentences.
A customer abused our support staff, so I let her know she wasn't as anonymous as she thought she was.
Actually, I don't know how I'm feeling about this.
I will say for this one, too, I didn't realize they'd be back to back, but this one is kind of emotional, verbal abuse, I would say. Okay. This one's verbal abuse.
Like fat turkey kind of abuse?
Worse, actually. Oh, no, actually, this one, trigger warning, is threats of suicide. Telling people to, you know, hurt themselves.
Okay.
A customer abused our support staff, so I let her know she wasn't as anonymous as she thought she was. Several years ago, I worked the late night shift as an online customer support agent for a women's clothing company. The other CSAs and I were constantly mistreated by crappy customers, and our managers did absolutely nothing to support us. The company valued its customers so much that the rules for dealing with them were disgustingly lax. For example, this one guy would call in obviously masturbating, but we weren't allowed to hang up on him because he never actually said he was. We had a 3-strike policy where a customer could pretty much do anything they wanted to 3 times because before they were disconnected and banned. But we also had a 1-day turnover policy where if a customer was cut off for inappropriate behavior, the ban was reset the next day. So sometimes someone could come in, tell you that you're a bitch 3 times, get kicked off, and then come in and do it again the next day. The entire time I worked there, I never saw a single person get permanently banned, not even the masturbating guy. I eventually ended up quitting specifically because a customer harassed me to the point of crying, and my manager's response was that I could have an unpaid 10-minute break now instead of my 15-minute break later. Is that not how America's workplace is? That little...
Sadly.
That little... Corporate America. One of the worst customers was this woman we'll call Kathy. This woman would enter our CSA's chat around midnight drunk. She admitted to this. She would ask questions like, what jeans do you think go with this top? While the CSA answered, Kathy would say things like, wow, this is taking you so long. Imagine working a minimum wage job at midnight. Bet you want to kill yourself. Warning number one. The next time it would go a little worse. Wow, you're such a loser. Have you ever thought about killing yourself? I would if I were you. Warning number two. The last time each night, it would be something like, I hope you die. You're so sad. You should kill yourself. At that point, we'd let her know we could no longer help her and we'd disconnect her. And she'd pop back into the chat within a few days and the whole thing would start over. She always says the same kind of things. She clearly knew she could say 3 separate things to us. Our managers never helped or stepped in. I once looked up this woman. I wanted to know who she was, and to my surprise, I found out that she was a therapist. She had her own practice. I was baffled.
Whoa.
What she did was a horrible, cruel, unkind thing, and I couldn't believe a therapist would do this. I later quit working at the company. I waited a few weeks, and then I made a phone call to Kathy's practice. I spoke to Kathy and I told her I was seeking therapy. During our intake call, she asked me what kind of issues I was facing. And I said, well, I do this really weird psychotic thing a few nights a week. I get really drunk and I start a chat with a minimum wage customer service agent. And I tell them multiple times that they should kill themselves. That's so fucking crazy, right? She made a tiny noise, a moment passed, and then the call disconnected. My friends at the company said that she never messaged them again.
That's a good petty revenge.
Yeah.
Because that was dark.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Typically because they're very unhappy with their lives.
Yeah.
They just want to make everyone hurt around them.
Hurt people.
They do.
Hey, Shrek really pointed that out to us.
Shout out Shrek for really bringing that lesson out to
the world. Wait, when did he say that?
It was a joke from the other day. We for 2 seconds made Sadia believe that the quote "hurt people hurt people" was from Shrek.
Oh wow!
And she believed it,
and then she got mad at us. And so now, rightfully so,
y'all are sick for that.
Now every once in a while, we just say "hurt people," and we know where it's from. Am I right, donkey?
That's donkey. Crazy. Y'all were about to get me too, because I'm like, oh, okay. When did this happen, Shrek?
Well, when I used to work at Subway, one of my coworkers got into a fight with a customer through the cookie tray at her.
Right.
Because I think the customer started cussing her out, and my coworker, she was like, really? She tried to grab her, and the chick went like that. She's like, and she slapped her hand. She grabbed the cookie thing, and she threw it at her. And I'm like,
when you said threw the cookie thing, I thought you meant like they were like literally like throwing hands through it. Like,
no, she picked up the cookie thing. And she said, "Rah." And I'm like, Otis, there's sugar cookies in there. But I'm like, I do remember like sometimes customers will come in, and you're like, you get to see their energy. Like, they're just like, give me a $5 foot long. And they're just like angry about it. You're like, okay, like whatever. And they're just like being aggressive in everything they're saying for whatever reason. You just gotta be like, Even though sometimes we're just like, I'm not making your sandwich, bro.
Yeah, let's talk about it though. I feel there has been conversations of like customer service having a decline and stuff of that nature. But I also think,
like, there's less, people are less good,
yeah,
not as good at like customer service now,
less friendly, less attentive, like restaurants and stuff nature. But I think this story really highlights a big problem that if there was a decline, I don't think there is. People are typically nicer to me, and I used to have a customer service job, so it's like sometimes I'm like, hey man, I get it, like you had a long shift, I don't want.
Right.
Because it used to be me. Like, I used to be, like, in those shifts, like, bro, I just cannot wait to go home. Or they got me doing 5 different jobs, and I only get paid the same.
Right.
Yeah. So, like, I totally get it. But the managers never help out with anything. Anytime I've ever gotten cussed out at Walmart.
Yeah.
Or cussed out in the McDonald's drive-thru, the managers are silent. I'm like, yeah, just work. It's like, can I get at least some like emotional support for that? Like, that was a lot.
I don't get paid enough for that.
Yeah, it's, and it's not even like a, you have to have like a training or like something. It's like, just be a genuine nice person.
Yeah.
Hey, I noticed what happened was a lot. Are you okay? That's all it takes.
Right.
But managers have never did that.
Man. And
I think that adds to the whole decline.
Yeah.
If there was.
I got better over time.
At Subway, if you decide to not make somebody's sandwich, how does that go? Like, you just look at them after you said no.
It only happened twice for me.
Yeah.
Where I was like, yeah, we can refuse service to anyone. You just don't like your energy right now. You need to leave.
Are you being serious?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
And they're like, I think the one guy cussed me out, and then he just left, and the other person just left.
Oh.
So I was like, it didn't turn to a big thing. I think it probably could turn into a big thing, but usually I still make the sandwich, but I'm like, that one, I was like, yeah, we're not.
What did they
like it.
I love that for you.
What did they do the first time before you refused service?
Well, the dude cussed me out was drunk, and he came in on time, and I was like, usually drunk people are not even that bad. Usually I'm like, I'm about to fill you up with bread. You're going to have a good time. And it's like a fun thing. Okay. But he just was on something. He was knocking over chairs when he came, man.
Damn.
And we're like, chill, chill. And he's like, man, just make me my damn sandwich. We're like,
I'm not making that sandwich.
I'm not making your sandwich, bro. I'm sorry. And just walked out. And I forgot what the other person was, but I think it was a similar thing where I think they were like, oh, I think it was a homeless person who came in and was like, going to customers' tables and was like, they were like asking for money, and we're like, you can't solicit people in the restaurant. They're like, and people are like, trying to be nice, like, no, sorry, thank you. And they come up, and then like they come with their chain, they're like, we got this one, and we're like, we're not going to serve you, like really making people uncomfortable. So he just left.
Am I the asshole for calling my cousin and her daughter illegitimate?
Is this from r/comfortlevelpod?
This is from r/comfortlevelpod.
I read this one.
I, 24 female, just bought a house. I'm super excited and I wanted to celebrate by having a backyard barbecue. I invited all of my friends and my entire family. I also invited my boyfriend, 25 male, since he hasn't met my extended family yet. We've only been dating for about 3 months. It's the day of the party. Everything is great. My boyfriend is meeting my cousins, aunts, uncles, and everybody in between. I finally take him over to my cousin of my dad's side of the family, 40s male, who is a pastor. Him, his wife, his 5 children, and granddaughter were there as well. For context, his oldest daughter, we'll call her Maple, has a different mom from the rest of the siblings because pastor had her with one of his past girlfriends when he was young. His granddaughter belongs to Maple, and Maple wasn't married when she had her baby either. Back to the story. I introduce my boyfriend to the group and we're all chatting with each other. For some reason, my pastor cousin feels the need to say, well, I hope you two aren't having sex before marriage. Having children out of wedlock would be a sin. He said it in front of everybody. My whole family got quiet. He then went on to talk about how I needed to keep my legs closed or my boyfriend would never marry me because I would already be putting out. It was extremely awkward. It, of course, caught my boyfriend off guard, so I say, well, were you thinking about that when you had your illegitimate daughter? You obviously didn't share those ideals with her either because now you have an illegitimate granddaughter. I had no intention of embarrassing his children because I love them and we're friends. I was just so angry at this grown man making an attempt to try and shame me for doing something he doesn't know if I'm doing or not in front of everybody I know. He was pretty pissed, and before he could say anything else, I said, I'm bored of this conversation, and I went into the house. My uncle, in drunk fashion, died laughing, adding insult to injury, I guess. My cousin and his family left shortly after these words were exchanged. My mom found me in the house after walking them out and asked if I was okay. She reminded me that we know my cousin has always been holier than thou and feels the need to show out in front of an audience. She also apologized to my boyfriend and promised that our entire family isn't like that and that what we do as adults is solely our business. She did, however, think that I should be the bigger person and apologize to my cousin. She said that he was really hurt and embarrassed. He was obviously projecting because he's ashamed of his past. I told her I'd think about it and try to spend the rest of the night having a good time. Later in the week, I called Maple and I asked her if I could come over to talk. I went over to her house and told her that I wanted to apologize to her specifically. I don't look at her or her daughter differently from being born out of wedlock. I frankly don't care how they were conceived. I was just mad at her dad for talking about my rooter and my thooter and wanted to make a good point. Okay. She let me know that she wasn't mad at me and that she knows how her dad is. I never intended on dragging her name or her daughter's name through the mud, and I went a little far. Maple said it felt good to see somebody put her dad in his place. We went out for margaritas, business as usual, and our relationship has been thriving and surviving since. In the end, I still feel like the only person who deserved the apology was Maple. She had nothing to do with the conversation, yet her name was mentioned. My dad is proud of me for standing up for myself, but my mom is still telling me that I should apologize to Pastor, especially since we have a family reunion coming up in August. I don't want to apologize to him, and I don't care about it being awkward during the family reunion. He has no right to ask me about my sex life and attempts to. I don't know. Intimidate my boyfriend? Guilt us? Am I the asshole? And then there's a few edits.
Hey, to the pastor cousin.
Pastor cousin. Bow your heads.
If you can't take the heat, stay out the kitchen.
Stay out of it.
Now that's a word.
You feel me?
That's a word.
That'll preach.
That'll preach.
But yeah, you can't play the victim when you engaged in that
activity.
Exactly. Like, you engage in that conversation and you took the shot at her.
Mm-hmm.
And then you want to play victim because it ricocheted and hit you back in your chest. Like, nah, don't do that. Don't do that.
This situation is literally one finger pointing at you, five fingers pointing right back.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened there.
Yeah.
Yeah, five.
Four.
Wait.
Three.
That was three.
Three.
Wait.
All right, unless you, four.
None of us can count. Three.
Three, yeah, three.
No, the phrase is one. So if you're pointing one at me.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Point one at me.
Yeah.
Then I can do the same back to you. Five point at you.
I don't think that's
no,
three.
I think it's this.
It's this.
Wait.
So if I, there we go.
No, it's three pointing back at
you. If I'm pointing at you, there's three pointing back at me.
I've never.
Oh, no.
I heard five.
I'm a little worried about the demonstration that you just did.
Yeah, well, if the other person points back, then there's five, and then six, seven.
They don't matter in the saying. It's
you pointing.
You pointing means you're pointing back.
Guys pointing back at you.
You learn something new every day.
I mean, hey, I thought it was four. You know, who can shame him?
Actually, I got freaked out because I'm like, how many? I've never looked at his hands. How many fingers?
How many fingers does
Brandon have? He has like eight.
He's only showing us four right now.
Interesting.
Don't worry about the rest of them.
No.
Okay, we weren't.
Don't ask.
I wasn't going to.
Don't ask.
I wasn't going to.
Don't even be scared about it.
I am scared.
Just look straight.
I can't have that.
Look straight.
I can't be afraid.
We're good.
This reminds me, though, of a story that we did a few weeks ago where it was like the gold, the stepkids accused her of being a gold digger, and so she basically had to put her husband.
I remember that one.
She had to expose her husband to do it, and I remember being like, I don't think you're the asshole, but I wonder if you could have done it a different way.
Yeah.
And I feel like in this situation, it does suck that Mabel was caught in the crossfires, but I'm not really sure what else she could have done.
Mabel was like,
and Mabel was like, just dodged all the bullets. And, you know, it does suck, but, you know, you apologize to Mabel, so it is what it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, Pastor was embarrassed, but at the same time, I've dealt with family members, religious or not, wanting to know if I'm like a virgin or like if if me and Brendan are doing anything. And I'm like, why do you think you have the right to ask that or know that?
Yeah.
Like, that's so weird.
Yeah.
And especially being the youngest, like sometimes you get it from like older family members and it's like, why are you in my business?
It is so
that is really weird that you're asking that. And I like that. You know, I think it was her mom had said, or somebody said, basically, like, we don't need to know what you two adults are doing or something like that.
Right,
yeah. Yeah, that's when she was explaining it to the boyfriend or, like, apologizing to the boyfriend after it happened.
Yeah.
Asking positions and stuff like what position do you do? I'm like, that's wild, dude.
Yeah, no, that's crazy.
Yeah, I've had family members do it, and sometimes it's, like, the religious shaming, and other times it's just, like, weird family stuff where it's, like, you don't need to know that.
Right.
No, the sex thing is already weird, but I think the religious aspect of it is just we all grew up in church.
Yeah.
There's like Christians who love to shame you for something that they did. Like, I feel like, I don't know if that's a specific Christian thing, but it seems like you did it. It's like they have amnesia.
Yeah.
Like they completely forgot that they did it. And you're like, you did it. And the fact that you're coming so hard on me, when you did it, you should have some grace for me.
Right.
And you don't. And that's like a turnoff for people who you try to lead people to
the church.
To the church. You're like, why would I want to be around that?
Exactly.
Either grace or like a plead instead of like, don't do it. Like, please just don't do it. This is what I've suffered through.
Right.
I'm okay with that aspect. Yeah. Like, I went through it and I'm like, it didn't work out. Like, it was hard for me.
Yeah.
That's a different tact than like, don't do it because it's bad
and you're sinful.
Yeah, you're sinful and you're disgusting for even thinking about it.
Because that's something that I've seen, like, sometimes experience myself, but also just seen, like, people talk about purity culture and how there's some aspects of it that are super toxic where you're kind of taught when you're younger that you're supposed to wait until marriage and like these things are kind of wrong in your head.
Yeah.
And so like if you do it, which most likely you will, if you do it before you're married, you feel so much shame for doing that. And I was watching a video where this woman was talking about how even when you get married, sometimes it's really hard for it to go away. Like you still might feel the shame after it once you're married because it was such a psychological thing growing up.
Yeah.
Man.
Where like you're like taught to like feel shame for doing that. Or like, oh,
dirty.
You know, you're put out and he's not going to want you anymore because now you've been used one time, even though what does that mean for the guy who's potentially had sex with three girls?
Yeah.
Just like my favorite show, Jane the Virgin. where her grandmother represented her virginity as like a flower. Mm. And then if you lose it, it gets dirty and the flowers fall around. And like they use that imagery throughout the show of like how she was scared to have sex because of this promise she made to her grandmother when she was a little girl.
Mm.
And you're like, yeah, that religious shame can hit you. You'd be deep in it.
100%. Yeah.
So I'm kind of happy that OP is not dealing with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she has a lot of people that can sort of be like, listen, it's okay. It's what happens.
I might be doing, I might not. None of your business.
None of your business, Pastor.
Right. Cousin.
Cousin. So edit. Hi, everyone. Cousin. Thanks for all the kindness. That reminds me of the bear.
Yeah. Cousin.
Hey, cousin.
I love him. He's my favorite person on the show.
Yeah. I think I'm on season 2 now. Mm. Just starting season 2. It actually went by really fast, and I'm kind of sad there's only 3 seasons, so I kind of stopped watching it because it's really intense,
it's
too.
It's super intense and fun. Mm.
So, edit. Hi, everyone. Thanks for all the kindness. Just a few things to clear up. My mom is not in defense of my cousin. She hasn't once made me feel like I did anything wrong. There's been a lot of drama in my family as of late, and because she herself isn't a messy person, people have been bringing their problems to her. I think she's just overwhelmed and figured this would be 2 less people who are fighting. I reassured her that there will be no fighting on my end. He has been posting subliminal messages on Facebook, but honestly, everyone just ignores him. And for all the people saying the story is fake or clickbait, have obviously never come from a religious family. For the most part, my family is normal and accepting. However, we do have a few extremists. Those people typically aren't invited to anything. I originally just invited Maple, her siblings, and her stepmom, but of course, Pastor tagged along. The pastor has always been a little aggressive and said outlandish things for attention. My family doesn't talk about it, but Pastor struggled with drug usage back in the day. My dad said that changed him and he used to not be so crass or mean. I also want to say, I also have an English and journalism degree, so I just write well. I don't really know what else to say. LOL.
Okay, flexing. Go ahead.
Got that English language.
Got big protein.
Congrats on the degree.
Come on.
I was saying this should be an act out because I want to see either Pastor Brandon or Pastor Maddie come out to play.
Pastor Maddie because I know the shame.
Yeah, I think one of the pastors.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Can you put this on the table? I'll be Pastor Maddie. And if you know who Pastor Maddie is, you've been watching the lives. Because
she be out and she's a menace. Pastor Maddie's a menace.
I think Sam should be OP.
Yes.
Okay, be OP.
Somebody's got to be Maple.
Maple. Catch a chase.
Maple, yeah. Wait.
And then maybe even OP's or OP's mom.
Oh, yeah, OP's mom.
Can I be Maple and you can be the mom?
Sure.
Because all I got to do is catch a straight.
All right. Dear Lord, dear Lord, dear Lord.
Oh, wow. It's already starting.
Thank you for bringing me to my cousin's house. Bless this house. Come on, Maple.
Okay.
We must enter through the front to get to the end, which is the backyard where they're at.
Can you just come in? We've been waiting. You've been praying for so long. Just
do
come
you need
in
me to
the
pray
house.
Over your house.
No, we don't. Just come in.
All right. I'll
Pastor
be by the hot
cousin,
dogs.
Come on. Maple. Hey, how you doing, Maple?
Hey, I'm doing good.
You doing good without cousin?
It's
out.
Good to see you,
Yeah. Let's come on in. We got a barbecue. We got a lot of meat in the back.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Oh, my God. You're dead.
Singing some hymns of Hannah Montana.
You know, I get it. He's a lot.
He's a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got barbecue in the bag. We got ribs. Hey. We got chicken. We got turkey.
Okay.
That's on turkey, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
OP, could you do me kindly and make me a hot dog? I'm
make
parched.
Make you a hot dog? I don't care.
I feel a famine in my stomach.
You said you're parched and you want
and
a hot dog?
And I need
dog?
To heal this famine, OP.
Okay, heal it. Go get you a hot dog.
Because the river has run dry.
It has.
And I need something to build me back up.
Oh, that kind of got me. Okay.
Hey. See, that's why they call me Pastor OP.
You really,
you know, I do it for you.
I don't like you that much, but that was actually good. That
amen.
Actually got it in my mouth. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
But go get your own food.
Good to see you, girl. Love you, girl. Hey, he say y'all got food?
Yeah, yeah. Just go over there to that table.
Okay.
Pass a cousin. I know you do a great, fine job at blessing food. Can you bless the food?
Just Mom, what just are you doing?
I can do that for you. I can do that for you.
Mom, he's been praying since he got here. Okay.
Dear Lord, I would like to thank you for the hot dogs, which I do not see. I hope they'll come soon. And I must cast down the food.
Cast it.
The barbecue. The chicken. The ribs.
Praise him.
I pray the Lord to tighten those things and send them to hell.
Wait, what?
And to loose the hot dogs on this barbecue.
Okay.
Hear this thing?
Wait, send the chicken down?
Let the hot dogs rain down. I'll open my mouth and gobble up the glizzy.
You gobble the glizzy. Praise his
name. And I hope everybody here can gobble the glizzy. In Jesus' name, gobble that glizzy. Say with me, gobble the glizzy.
Gobble the glizzy.
Gobble the glizzy.
Yeah.
And I cast down the barbecue that OP made because it was probably disgusting.
Can we wrap this
in
up?
In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 What do you got against chicken and everything else?
I'm a vegetarian.
A vegetarian. It's interesting.
That is what he said.
Hot dogs are definitely meat, so.
Yeah, those are definitely beef hot dogs. You probably shouldn't eat the hot dogs.
I understand that, OP's mom. But also, what I say is true. I'm the salt of the world. I'm bringing salt. I'm mixing it up.
Okay. Just eat the hot dog.
The hot dogs are beef, though. I just want to make sure you're vegetarian.
That fits in between my restrictions.
Can I just
beef is in vegetarian?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Get him the hot dog.
I'm not getting him anything. He can get himself. Get him the hot dog. I just want. Get we have this. Dog. Okay.
Hey. Gobble in the glizzy. Thank you very much.
Well, while we're having this barbecue, was just to invite you guys to my boyfriend.
Excuse me, you have a boyfriend?
Yeah, it's my boyfriend, Rob.
Not your husband?
Yeah.
I got a snake tattoo.
Yeah.
I like him.
He's a really good guy. We share a single brain cell.
Single brain cell.
Wait, Leah? Is that your name?
Yeah, my name's Leah.
Oh. I like you a lot more now.
Okay.
Let's call you OP so I can not like you.
Yeah. So, hey, Rob, I'm just showing you my family. This is Mabel.
Hey, nice to
meet
you.
Sorry. I don't know why I messed up my cousin's name. Mabel. And this is Pastor Cousin, Maple's dad.
Call me Pastor.
Pastor.
I'm your pastor.
You're not his pastor. You don't know him.
I don't really go to church, but.
And I don't really go to your church.
So. I'm going
to
wrangle you up like those snakes you do. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
I'm going to save your life. She ain't going to hell, Rob.
It's just how my dad is.
Okay.
You know, he likes to just joke about
intense.
That.
He's intense. He's really, really intense eye contact.
Yeah. So, Rob, I could care less what you have to say. OP?
Yeah.
Are you opening your legs to this boy before marriage? Because if you were, Maple, close your ears. That's fucking disgusting.
Wow.
You whore.
Okay. That's interesting. No, that's interesting. Okay.
Where'd he get his pastor degree? Online?
Did your old girl keep her legs closed when you had Maple?
What?
Oh,
Did Maple keep her legs closed when she had her little kid?
Excuse me, don't talk about my daughter like that.
It didn't seem like you taught her much about anything. Huh, Pastor Cousin. Did I stutter?
I wish you would have.
Were you out of wedlock?
I did what I did.
Maple did her dirt. Maple did her dirt.
You ride with me again.
Yeah.
This is...
So gobble your glizzy in silence.
I gobbled his glizzy and then now you're mad.
Wait, whose glizzy did you gobble?
I mean, wait.
Wait, what did you say, Pastor Cousin?
I'm a heterosexual.
Dad, wait.
You gobbled someone's glizzy.
This is...
Dad, what are you gobbling? You gobbled what?
No,
Dad?
Daughter, you didn't hear nothing. I'm a heterosexual. I would never.
Mm-hmm.
It was a phase.
Oh, it was.
Oh,
how long has his phase been going?
I was confused.
How long has his phase been happening?
It was before Mabel.
Okay.
but I think about him all the time.
I bet you do, you dirty dog.
You know what I'm saying?
You dirty dog.
I don't want to be called pastor no more, but right. I just have to, and I feel like I have to shame women for doing some of the same thing that men do.
But Dad, I feel like you should really just live in your truth. I know you loved him, and
you knew about the mailman.
You know, I saw him come around the house. I saw the way you looked
every
at him
every day. He came by the house, and those blue pants really did something to me.
Oh, I bet
he was looking thick in those pants.
So Dad, I really think you should live in your truth, and you know, if that conflicts with preaching, you know, maybe you should think about letting it go. Maybe.
OP, this is my first. This is our first.
I'm so sorry, Rob.
What is it? Is this
Rob,
usually a normal
this is
thing?
Not a normal thing. This is actually strange.
Can you sit and pray with me? I just feel, Lord, that maybe I should be delivered from judgment today.
Yeah.
Because even though OP is a whore, I'm also a whore. And I love...
She's no whore.
I love that mailman.
Pastor Cousins.
Keep that hand over here.
Oh my God.
It's a monogamous.
And I want to say, maybe we're all whores. Rob, I saw you on Love Island. I saw you the way you treated Leah.
I'm no whore. All right. And let's get that straight.
Get to the door, you whore. That's me, you whore. Get to the door, you whore. That's me, you whore. Get through that door.
Get to the door, you whore. That's
me, you whore. End scene.
Okay.
I didn't really know how to end that.
I liked it, though.
The twist.
Pastor, I love Pastor Maddie so much. Such a bad person.
Money laundering, cheating.
Yeah, cheating.
Shameful.
I did feel like we're going to redeem Pastor when you're like, no, I actually am in love with the mailman, and that's why I'm... But then you called me a whore again after that in a prayer. So that kind of hurt me. I'm like, you are a bad person.
But I called us all whores. Like, we're
yeah,
all equal.
But I didn't want to... Rob didn't need that.
Rob is... I'm sorry, Rob. I don't mean to look at you because you're just a representation of a different person. And yeah. Rob, if you ever see this, you know.
You're not a whore, Rob.
I think we're all whores, right?
You know?
That's what I was trying to say with the message.
Everybody got a little bit of it in them, you know what I mean?
I guess.
We all got that dog in
that's
us.
That's the life right. lesson we're trying to
we
tell the
We all got that dog in us. And I think if church would have been telling us that. What did he say?
Yeah. I'm a slut.
That's the most honest thing Rob has ever said.
I wanted to do the Leah thing. I wanted to get that in there. I wanted to do the Rob thing where I'm like, but we couldn't turn it around.
Wow, what a way to end.
That was an episode. Yes.
That was an episode.
And that was episode. An episode. And I guess audience, you're whores. All of you out
everybody's equal. Everybody's equal in the eyes of Pastor Maddie.
So make sure in the comments, write, I'm a whore. And I love myself.
Oh, wow. That actually gave me a Rob face. For some...
I didn't like that.
Yikes.
But do it.
Don't do that.
Okay, don't do it.
Don't do it. Yeah.
Do it. But don't do it. Do it. But don't do it.
I do it. But don't do it.
Hey,
do it. But don't do it.
Stop.
I do it. But don't do it.
But maybe
do it.
But don't do it. We'll see you guys.
Do it.
But don't do it.
Next week.
Do it. But don't do it.
Bye.
Don't do it.
A day. A
day. See you later.
Hey. Don't do it.
What?
We're out of here.
Do it. Don't do it.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.